Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn. Velocity Child here, and I am down to clown, because I am with Eric motherfucking Schmallenberger.
Hello, America.
I'm excited. We're going to go on a musical journey tonight.
Oh.
It's going to start with your childhood.
Yeah.
What song would you like to start with?
So I,
and why?
I was thinking about my childhood and about what meant things to me when I was little, and I lived in a fantasy world from a very early age. And one of the things I think that brought that about, I watched a lot of fantasy films when I was very young. And one of my first memories is of watching with, one might say, a cult-like dedication for a three-year-old.
Yes.
The Last Unicorn, which was an HBO animation that had the voices of Angela Lansbury.
I didn't know this was HBO.
And Mia Farrow and I can't remember who else. But I'm not allowed to ever meet Mia Farrow, because if I did, the first thing that I would say to her would be, "You are the mouth, the voice of a mouth, yeah."
I think she would love that, actually.
I think she would find it very funny. So I've done a lot of other things.
Yeah, but she has a lot of kids, so I think played. She would resonate with her.
I'd be like, oh. "Girl, you were the last unicorn."
Now I have to watch it.
You do.
You know,
you
I've
do.
Never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I
it's
know.
It's so good.
I know. I feel very uncool admitting this. But...
The Last Unicorn, I wouldn't call The Last Unicorn cool. I'd say that it has a large portion of nostalgia for anyone age, particularly 35 to 39.
Well, I have a life-size baby unicorn in my backyard, so I better watch it.
The book's also very good. The book is one of my favorites. It takes on levels that the film doesn't, and it's really shockingly beautiful.
More sophisticated nuances.
I wouldn't say that necessarily, but it is a beautifully descriptive and wonderful book that I feel a lot of nostalgia for. So, Velocity.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Last Unicorn Facts.
Seems like all is dying, and we leave the the future has passed without even a last desperate warning. Then he looked into the sky where through the clouds a path is torn. Look and see her, how she sparkles. It's her last good.
Ooh, she was from the live version. That was exciting.
That was exhilarating.
I love that song. That really does like mean my entire childhood to me.
I could see making rainbows in your bedroom to that song.
I didn't make rainbows. I would take all of the clothes from the entire house and all of the pillows and all of the blankets, and I would put them in a big pile.
Like a mountain.
And I would get in the middle of it, and I was the blob. And I could rule the universe through my blobbiness. But just wanted to be in a big nest, basically. And still, if I'm very, very exhausted, the way that I you have an overactive mind and you can't go to sleep. I'll just build a nest in my bed, and that'll usually work.
I used to do the thing where you take the dining room chairs and like you throw a blanket or a sheet mm-hmm. over it or a comforter, and you hang out underneath some flashlights and a friend.
I never had flashlights.
Wow. I'm surprised. I imagined you living in a rural situation because you're from Texas.
Very, very urban. Okay. Very, very defiantly urban. Even when there were rural-ish people around, my mother was...
city slicker.
Oh, very deeply. Mm-hmm. Very deeply. Which is funny for an Australian. But whatever.
Oh. Well, this brings us to Manhattan, doesn't it?
It does. And shockingly, a bit before I actually moved here. I grew up loving New York, mostly because of a lot of my parents had a very urban sensibility. Uh-huh. They loved having cocktail parties. They loved going to the theater. Even though I was growing up in Texas, we had a lot of international people come through our house. We had a lot of queers come through our house. It was exciting and lovely. And my dad, we would actually go to New York a lot. And my dad fell in love with this singer named Blossom Deary, who is...
Such a wonderful name.
Such a wonderful woman. And she was a jazz singer, an interpreter of songs, and she used to play in the Carlyle Hotel.
Like a chanteuse.
Le chanteuse, yes. And she, we'll go through a couple of those this evening. Yeah. And so my dad would go and see her play at the Carlyle Hotel in New York when he was there on a business trip. And then when I was a high school student, he started taking me, and I learned all of these jazz songs initially through the voice of Blossom Deary, which is if you haven't heard her voice before,
I'm excited.
Totally unique. And all of these jazz standards that I've heard in a million different ways, to hear them with her voice for the first time, I think colored my personality in a certain sort of a way.
Yeah.
So this next choice is something that used to play in my house a lot growing up. And then I would eventually go and see this woman perform live in New York when I was a little bit older.
Phenomenal. Let's get into it. This is a song called Manhattan by Blossom Dearie.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. It's lovely going through. The subway charms us so. When balmy breezes blow to and fro and tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push carts gently gliding by. The great big city is a wondrous toy.
I could totally see where you get your cabaret style on that one. And might I add, what a tender, wonderful, creative way to bond with your father. It's not like your typical baseball game, you know? It's
no,
the Carlisle.
I was very lucky.
I mean, that's amazing.
I was very, very lucky. My dad, he had his moments, but he also had his moments, and going and seeing theater and singers, I whenever when I was like 12, 13,
yeah.
They'd ask me what I wanted to do for my birthday. And other kids were like, I want to go to a water park. I want to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, Disney World.
I wanted to go to the opera. Mm-hmm. specifically the Dinner Theater Opera in Houston, Texas, which was this Italian restaurant called the Great Caruso, where they would serve Italian food while performing opera.
And it was an Italian OK Corral.
Yeah. It was completely tacky and wonderful, and they had big candles dripping everywhere, and it was fun. And I'd always
like
get
a gothic Italian Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep. And then they'd come in every once in a while with like a song from Phantom of the Opera, or like a pop song done like an opera song.
And of course.
So this was what I would, and my parents would sit there and say, like, do you want any friends to come along? They didn't sound like a middle-aged gay man when they talked. I do. Do you want any friends to come along? And I'd sit there and tell them no. I just wanted to enjoy the Dinner Theater by myself. Yeah. This is me at 12.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be interrupted. Don't interrupt me.
No.
Yes. So this brings
Or my veal parmesan.
Right. Now, did you do veal parmesan in college?
I did. I have never even been tempted to go vegetarian.
Ah, yes. No, fuck that. I have a nut allergy anyway. I can't go near vegetarian.
Thank God I'm not allergic to nuts.
Oh, I miss them. I didn't get my allergy till I was 23. And
I think we're talking about two different kinds of nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least I can do the other kind.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Cheers. We're sure we have to do a... And then a...
Oh. So, yeah. College, I moved from Texas to New York.
Uh-huh.
And... One of my first bonding experiences was when the big record stores were still around. And I can't remember if I got this from the Tower Records on 4th Street and Lafayette.
Yeah.
Or if I got this Broadway.
Stretched to Broadway.
Right. It went all the way through. Mm-hmm. It was two blocks long.
I love the market they had, the open market they had in the parking lot next door in the weekend. That was found so many cool things.
And then, or if I got this from the, what was it? It was the Virgin Megastore.
You were going to NYU?
I was at NYU, mm-hmm. Studying experimental theater. Actually, it was a very useful degree. At the time, I thought that it was pointless, but I actually am.
I think
yes.
It panned out for you. I definitely think it's in your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Virgin Megastore at Union Square, which was there also. But I remember picking up the VHS.
Then it was definitely Tower.
Of all of Bjork's music videos.
Yes.
And up to that time, which was...
I had that one.
2000.
Mm-hmm.
The fall of 2000. It was a VHS and it had like 15 videos. I picked up the VHS for that and the VHS with all of Tori Amos's
music
video.
Yes. Little Earthquakes.
Well, all of them. The Little Earthquakes through, mm-hmm. I think, Boys for Pele.
Oh, yeah. Boys for Pele.
Or maybe even the one after that.
To be had
a northern lad. Not exactly had.
I think that might
Choir Girl Hotel.
Choir Girl Hotel. And then there was Liquid. Yeah, that had Liquid Diamonds on it, too.
Yes.
And that was interesting, too, because that came out the same year as Madonna's Ray of Light. And while Madonna was having a baby and doing Ray of Light... That very same year and around the same time, Tori Amos
had a miscarriage
and came out with Choir Girl Hotel.
Such different albums.
Yeah, night and day.
But both deep, both two
Wonderful.
Of my favorites.
Yes.
And both very, very attached to
motherhood
and womanness, like femininity.
Very goddessy.
I, in my own work, have a tendency. I don't hire men very often.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's not that I don't like men. I like men very much.
Yes, you do.
It's just creatively, I think I attached with feminine energy more and find that the world that I want to express takes place more through feminine voices. Not even feminine voices, through the voices of women.
Yeah, they don't even have to be. Some of your muses are quite extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to get to her.
She's up
next. But right now, when I got to college, Bjork was my number one muse. And playing her music is how I made some of my first friends in college. So this is Possibly Maybe by Bjork.
Yes.
Yeah.
that song brings back so much memories for me too. That was an Earmark album for me as well, and possibly, maybe, one of my favorite Bjork albums.
It's absolutely one of mine too.
Although I love Hunter, I'm a big fan of that album. So, where are we going from? Where are we going from this ethereal mood?
Something a little bit more aggressive.
Yes.
So I graduated college, 2004, a degree in experimental theater.
Of course.
And had no fucking clue what I was gonna do with a degree in experimental theater. So I sort of got some odd jobs and paid rent somewhere. I can't remember where I lived right after. I lived in Red Hook. I think before Red Hook was a thing.
Yes.
2004. Long before IKEA. And
yes.
I would wander around the East Village because it was the neighborhood that I knew. And I met a woman whose music I'd heard before. But
Did you know it was her when you met her?
I absolutely did.
Oh, okay. Right on.
And I started working at the gallery.
You approached her.
She approached me.
Fabulous.
She asked me to help her carry something. And then I was working for a gallery that would go on to represent her.
Mm-hmm.
And when given the chance to work with her personally, I took it and ended up working with Kembra Fowler for a couple of years, sort of as her artist assistant, and worked with her on a lot of shows and artwork and painted her apartment. And she was really a driving force in who I have become.
She was a positive mentor.
She was a very positive mentor. She said things to me like, when in doubt, aggress the situation. That's if, like, you know, something doesn't, it's not like in life all the time, but if
something doesn't feel right,
just push on through.
Yes.
And then
Winston Churchill once said, if you're going through hell, just keep going.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the most important thing, which I quote all the time, that she ever said to me was, as far as audiences are concerned, you had better show them something that they've never seen before. Otherwise, they should kill you. And so now we're going to bring up a song by the Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black with Miss Kembra Fowler, the lead singer of the Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black. And this song is Alaska. Myself, but I think we should do every day.
Alaska by the Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black. And my very, very most important artistic, mentor? Kembra Fowler.
Yes.
So Kembra introduced me to a lot of people. And I eventually got involved with burlesque and cabaret through Kembra's show Womanizer, and that's where I met Juliette Lesmues, and Julie started
and Bambi.
No, yes. I knew Bambi because Bambi was a girl of Karen Black, but I hadn't worked with Bambi very much, but I met Julie, and Julie ended up involving me in her show at PS 122. And that was a really life-changing moment for me. But also during Womanizer, I met a couple of other artists. I met my fairy godmother, Vaginal Cream Davis. Mm-hmm. And I met Briar Peorage, which was Genesis and Lady J. Genesis Peorage and Lady J, who has since passed away. And Lady J and Genesis were very kind to me, and I worked for them for a short amount of time. I worked in Genesis's archive, and I hadn't been super familiar with the work of Throbbing Gristle or Psychic TV. I was like 25 or so,
just a wee baby,
and working with them changed my mind around a lot of things, around ideas of gender, masculinity, power, art practice. It was almost alchemical.
I bet.
And it was a very brief relationship, but their music still means a lot to me. And while Lady J only appeared in a certain period of Psychic TV's work, Genesis's entire catalog, from the very, very darkest shit to the most beautiful, really is something that has a place in my heart. And so this next song is the song Orchids by Psychic TV.
When all the numbers swim together, and all the shadows settle, when doors forced open, shut again, a flytrap and a petal, my eyes burn and claws rush to fill them. And in the morning after the night, I fall in love with the light. It is so clear I realize that here at last I have my eyes. Sex turns and claws rush to spill them. But in the morning after the night, I fall in love with the light. It is so pure I can arise without the fear of secret lies. Na 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 na.
That was incredibly diaphanous. I was imagining something more aggressive. It's truly a beautiful piece.
Yeah, I love that one. It's always been it's very gentle for a Psychic TV song.
Like, yeah,
Psychic TV was very much about like acid rave culture, mm-hmm. and then went on into a lot of Genesis and Lady J's explorations on gender and the body, mm-hmm. and always the occult and all these other things. But that song's just it's just a beauty. That's just a beauty.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I'm just going to use that to lead into, at this time when Kembra was working with Deitch Projects, I was working with Deitch Projects also, mm-hmm. and that sort of led me into more deeply into cabaret culture through people like Juliette Lesmieux and
Bambi the Mermaid.
Bambi the Mermaid and Penny Arcade and Michael Cavadius and the Citizens Band and Rob Roth. And I met all of these people, and I just sort of started ending up rather than I was going
a
to
lot
a lot of
that came from the mother camp.
Yeah. Very much you know, Chi-Chi and Johnny, Chi-Chi Valenti and Johnny Dinell will always be like the
mother and daddy.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Just like that.
The empress and daddy.
Yeah.
It's daddy's birthday the other day. Like yesterday,
yes.
I think, was daddy's birthday.
Yes,
sometime
and he just
this week.
Survived some terrific.
I know, he's got this great
fall.
Splint on his arm that looks, makes him look like a robot. Ooh. And so sexy.
I'm sure he's pumped it out.
Yeah. And so I became more and more involved in cabaret culture. I was going to nightclubs and museums less and less, and going to the Slipper Room and Joe's Pub more and more. And around this time, I met another woman. A lot of my songs, some people play songs that mean a lot to their life. I think of my life in the songs of my friends who I've made along the way. I'm not friends with Bjork, obviously,
yes.
But a lot of these people, a lot of these people are people who
have inspired
me personally in a way where their songs, when they wrote them, sort of, I think after college, my life started really marking itself not just in popular songs or what I was listening to, but in what my friends were creating and sort of their distillation of what was happening at any given moment meant the most to me in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, the songs of Kembra, and we're going to go right now into, I'm going to spoil the surprise, Lady Rizzo. And then afterwards, we're going to go into, like, Dane Terry and Boyfriend. Mm. And, like, these are people who are in my life whose understanding of the world at that time is how I remember and favor to remember my life. So right now, we're going to listen to The Ghost of the Chateau Marmont by Lady Rizzo.
Ooh.
There's a place lost in time where the palm trees and vines rustle under an empty blue sky, where successes and fakes go to make their mistakes far away from the cruel public eye. Past the red velvet rope, pink champagne lines of coke, see a star, catch a glimpse of a thigh. But behind every thrill lies the terrible chill of the dream that refuses to die. Now and forever, prisoner of Babylon, pray that you never meet the ghost of the Chateau Marmont. She was shiny and new, not so different from you, wide-eyed and fresh off of the farm, golden hair, warmer Mama's honey, she didn't have money, but could light up a room with her joy. But her soul was no match for a town that can snatch up your hopes and give none in return. Casting couches and pills are as certain to kill as the Hollywood Hills are to burn. And fame. Should her life sound familiar at all, you wouldn't know her by name. Now and forever, prisoner of Babylon, pray that you'll never be a ghost of the Chateau Marmont. Pray that you'll never be a ghost of the Chateau Marmont.
That's a set of pipes. That's a mean set of pipes that lady has.
She's amazing. She came down and did my show in New Orleans, and she'd never performed in New Orleans before. And seeing an audience in the French Quarter be knocked away by a singer like that was very special. Very special, because the New Orleans, they're a crazy audience, but they're more discerning than
musically?
I think. Yeah, especially musically.
Yes.
I do a radio show
New
every
Orleans
time.
New Orleans is with music the way New York is with restaurants.
I do a radio show every time I go down to New Orleans, and the guy who runs it, Michael Dominici, I think really fell in love with Rizzo that night and very much wants me, doesn't care so much about who my current guests are, just wants to know when I'm bringing her back. which is understandable,
cool.
Absolutely. And
by the way, when is the next time you're in New Orleans?
I will be in New Orleans on September 28th. Trixie Minx and I are going to be doing the bill isn't complete yet, so I'm not going to announce cast members right now, but
right.
We're doing a really fun show at One Eye Jack's. And then
love that venue.
I'm at House of Yes 4 times a month. You can look it up online because I can't remember. It's not a regular schedule. It's not like every second Saturday. No, it's whenever I can edge my way in there.
Yeah.
It's a busy nightclub. So I'm at House of Yes 4 times a month, 2 for Extra, 2 for Blunderland.
Mm-hmm.
In September, I'm starting a new show at the Slipper Room that's going to be a monthly called Eyelash Mustache.
Aha. Is it a boylesque review?
No. What is it? We'll find out. I did a lot of acid when I was young, and all of my shows are sort of based off of...
Yes, eyelashes.
Eyelashes, mustaches, clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will be in London in November, I think, 14th, 15th, and 16th at various different venues, but you can find all of that out on my website at www.blunderlandvariety.com.
Now tell me about Sugar Neighbors.
Sugar Neighbors. So, Gay. I am gay. Gay. So gay. And I love being gay. I love all the things that go with being gay. I love all the activities that one can do, all the things that one can wear. A simple eyelash to lunch, or maybe something scandalous like a caftan to dinner. I also love my queer community here in New York and the people who I've met, who I have fought with, cried with, lived with, loved with, all the things.
Chosen family.
And I have a couple of chosen families. I have my circus family, my burlesque family, and my gay family. And there's a lot of crossover between all of those. But one of my favorite human beings and one of the gayest people that I know is my darling Dane Terry. Dane Terry is a story writer and song master. He made up a word called a frillbilly, which is a very gay hillbilly. And so he makes very American songs from a gay perspective.
Gay bluegrass?
It's not even gay bluegrass. It's really unique, and I don't want to call it singer-songwriter, and I don't want to call it, like, I don't know what it is. It's magic. It's complete
like country funk.
No, not even. You're gonna hear this and you're gonna be like, "What?"
I just made
what?
That up.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
no,
to imagine.
It's like it's not imaginable. And frillbilly doesn't even like it's. There's not much hillbilly-ish about it.
Okay.
Except in like its unique Americanness.
Okay.
And I love that because in a time when we're figuring out what Americanness means.
Everyone's trying to redefine it, yeah?
Looking at an Americanness that is distinctly queer.
Yes.
Is wonderful. And Dane wrote a love song that is sort of a, I don't know, I'm just going to play it for you right now. This is Sugar Neighbors by Dane Terry.
Thank you. close of all of our lives. First comes the flower, and then comes the fruit, the fall and the flower.
Thank you so much for being with us
tonight. Thank you so much for having me.
And archive episodes of Fallen Woman can be found at fallenwoman.com. And you are listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Good night.
Night.